everyone. It's Beverly Hallberg. Welcome to a special mini-series of the She Thinks podcast, where Julie Gundlach will be sitting down with four Kappa Kappa Gamma plaintiffs and Weston Brooke versus Kappa Kappa Gamma to dive into their fight to preserve female-only spaces. Independent Women's Law Center is the lead counsel on this case, and oral arguments will be heard before the 10th Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals on May 14th. Four of the plaintiffs, now ambassador at Independent Women's Forum, join She Thinks to share their respective stories as they look to hold Kappa to the sisterhood promised to them. Enjoy.
Hey, everyone. As Beverly said, I am Julie Gundlach, and today I'm going to be talking with Mae Mailman. She's the director of the Independent Women's Law Center. She's also a former legal advisor to President Trump. Mae is representing the plaintiffs in this lawsuit, and these wonderful young women are bringing this case to court, and Mae is going to argue it on their behalf. Mae, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks, Julie.
You know, before we go into the what you expect and what's going to happen looking forward, I want to look back a little bit just really quickly and have you explain why a federal judge initially dismissed the case. I think that people hear about this case and they say, oh, it was dismissed. Maybe that's going to happen again. And more specifically, what he said in that dismissal about these young women not being entitled to female-only spaces because Kappa bylaws, he said, do not define the term women, which is mind-blowing to me, but I want to kind of get your explanation on that and what happened, what occurred, and the reaction.
Yeah, it is mind-blowing, but we'll do our best to explain it. So these women are members of Kappa Kappa Gamma and therefore have to abide by bylaws. The bylaws say that new members shall be a woman. The directors of Kappa Kappa Gamma owe duties to the sorority to comply with the bylaws. So for example, the bylaws say that new member fees are $175. The directors couldn't charge you $10,000 to join because the bylaws don't allow for that. So if the directors do something that they're not allowed to and they hurt the sorority while doing it, you can bring a claim for a breach of fiduciary duty. Basically, you violated your duties to the sorority. So that's what's going on here. So they're saying you had a duty to uphold single-sex membership, woman-only membership, and you failed in your duty to do that. So that seems pretty clear cut. Here's the single sex membership requirement. You didn't do it. But there is, to be nice to the district court, there is a caveat to that. So Kappa bylaws require a lot of other things. You've got to show integrity, for example, to be a new member. Well, what does integrity mean? Let's just say you smoke pot. Okay. Is that integrity? Is that not integrity? If they let you do it, does it matter what, you know, the law is in the state? You know what? Those types of things, courts are not going to say, I'm not going to come in and define what integrity means today. Okay. If Kappa wants to let you in or not let you in based on your pot smoking, then that's fine. So the court basically took that general principle of like, I'm not going to step on the sorority's toes and define every term. And it used it to define to apply that to woman. You know, of course, the problem is integrity is one of these things that you ask 10 people what it means and they'll all tell you 10 different things versus $175 as a fine. Everyone knows what that means. So where does woman fall? Is it more like $175 where it's clear? Or is it more like integrity where it isn't clear? And so the court really should let the sorority do that. And so that's what this case is about, is, you know, which is women more like?
Well, in constitutional matters, often you'll hear people say, and let me say, I am not a lawyer, but so I'm asking this from the non-lawyer perspective, but you'll hear people say when a constitutional matter is being considered, they'll say, what did the framers think, right? And you try to get in their heads and think, what did they intend? Well, I kind of am thinking in those terms when I think about the founders of Kappa Kappa Gamma. How old is the sorority, Mae?
It was founded in 1870, so very old, before women could vote.
I have to think of those women. And did they ever think we would be in a situation where people are saying, well, you didn't put the specific definition of women in your bylaws. So, you know, we can have men who identify as women. It's crazy when you think about about that from the perspective of the women who founded Kappa Kappa Gamma.
Yeah. And I think, so a couple of points. Of course, the founders of Kappa Kappa Gamma created a female-only sorority in order to have a female-only sorority. I mean, they wanted to have male Greek letter societies existed, just female ones didn't. So they wanted to create the female equivalent of that. So obviously, as they were creating this organization, they were creating it for women because women were excluded. Of course, Kappa in their brief says, well, how do we know that? How do we know that they wouldn't have let in men? It's like okay, once we're there, once that's generally your argument, then I have no response for you. But I would say even if you were to create an organization today, 2024, create it today, and you were going to create a sorority, a new sorority, women's only organization, you said in your bylaws, we're creating a new sorority. It's called Kappa Kappa Beta, and it's only women. Still, people would assume that that's women. Like, we have an English language. There are other words that people use to describe men who wear dresses or otherwise are feminine men who, you know, and it's men who identify as women. Some people say transgender women, you know, biological, like whatever. There are other words for that, but it's not just woman standing alone. So yes, you've got that historical component, but even today, if you were to say something like women had better outcomes for COVID than men did. Okay.
You know what that means.
We know exactly what that means. That means biological females, for whatever reason, did better with COVID. And that makes sense in a medical discussion because your femaleness or your maleness is a biological reality.
Yes, exactly. So with that background, which is really fascinating, also frustrating, tell us where the lawsuit stands today. What are the next steps and what do you expect?
So the lawsuit, as you had mentioned, the district court in Wyoming dismissed it. So technically right now, the lawsuit is dismissed. It cannot, these women do not have access to federal court. So what we're doing is we're arguing to the appeals court, the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, which sits in Denver, that that dismissal was wrong, that the district court should not have dismissed the case and that should have at least heard them out a little bit more.
Right.
So if we win, and that we're not going to know immediately. So the court will hear arguments on Tuesday and then we'll make a decision in the months after that. But if we win, then we're back in the district court and the case can move forward. So it doesn't mean that Kappa all of a sudden is consistent with their bylaws. It just allows the case to move forward. And if they lose, then we look at appeal options from there.
Okay. I was reading the response brief by Kappa dated January 4th, 2024. And there's a section where Kappa questions the girls' claims about the biological male who was allowed into the sorority house. The brief says specifically that the allegation about Langford's unsubstantiated behavior at the Gamma Omicron chapter house following the chapter's decision to admit, they say her in this brief, I refuse him, which the district court found unbefitting in federal court and irrelevant as they had no bearing on the plaintiff's legal claims. I wanted to ask you about that because it really jumped out at me because the women who are in this lawsuit, bravely standing up in this lawsuit, they have been smeared not only by their own sorority sisters, by the headquarters, but also it seems by this court. What did you make of that at the time? Can you explain what the court meant by that?
Yeah. So first of all, when you write a complaint and the defendants try to dismiss the complaint, the court, in deciding whether or not that should be dismissed, they're supposed to take all the allegations of the complaint as true. So they say, even if all this is true, is there still no legal claim here? So if I'm like, I don't like this person, I'm suing them. Like, assuming that's true, assuming you don't like them, you still have no lawsuit. So we're going to kick you out. So basically, that whole process of like, I don't think that what these women said is true. It's unsubstantiated. That was wrong. The district court should not have done that. But I think what they're trying to get at here is these women are arguing that Kappa did something wrong, right? That the Kappa directors did something wrong. There's no lawsuit against the male, right? So they're not saying that the male assaulted me or battered me or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so why do those allegations kind of against the male appear in an argument against the sorority? So that's the, and like at a high level, that kind of makes sense. But if you actually dig down one level deeper, it's that, well, when the sorority let in the male, that injured the women, right? Because mm-hmm. the women were then subjected to invasion of privacy, emotional distress. They had to deal with these very uncomfortable, bizarre situations that they would never have been subjected to if there wasn't a male. So like the district court, if it just went one level deeper and said, well, these women are saying that they have been personally injured by the sorority's decision. How are they personally injured by the sorority's decision? Oh, because they had to face this invasion of privacy. Then it all makes sense. And yeah. So I thought that whole, you know, oh, this is unbefitting of a federal court. Well, yeah, it is. I wish we didn't have to be in federal court, right. But here we are.
Well, thank you for explaining that. That really jumped out at me. I'd like to also talk about beyond Kappa, Kappa Gamma. This is happening in other sororities. And there is an organization that sort of represents the entire Greek system, and that's the National Panhellenic Conference. What's their position on this? Have they been helpful to these girls, to this specific lawsuit? What has been their position?
So they've actually weighed in on this lawsuit against the women. They've weighed in favor of Kappa against the women. And their general position is kind of the one I mentioned at the beginning, which is you do want to give Kappa some breathing room to decide its members, right? You don't want court stepping in and saying, well, because you have an integrity requirement, this woman has integrity, this woman doesn't. This woman does, this one. Obviously, you don't want a court doing that. So Kappa's brief kind of, or the Panhellenic Conference's brief tries to get at that. Of course, it's completely wrong here, because here we're talking about clear black and white terms of the bylaws, like that you have to be a woman. But in general, I think MPC has been on the woke train because MPC doesn't really have to deal with it. There sort of is no such thing as MPC. It's just an organization where nobody lives in MPC. Nobody is in a house in a bathroom with MPC. It's just an organization of sororities. So if they say we love to invite men as members, no one ever has to deal with that. So it's kind of like it's very frustrating that they want to be woke, because it's like the essence of not in my backyard. They'll never have to deal with those decisions. But even still, what MPC has said is that during Rush, men can participate in Rush, but that doesn't change each individual sorority's membership policies. So, and that sort of is like a lot of other things. So there are women who Rush who don't have the grades to join certain houses. Certain houses have higher standards, lower standards. So just because you can Rush does not mean that you are allowed.
Yeah, but even that may, I can't imagine having to Rush alongside a male.
Yeah.
You know, it's invasive, and it would discourage some women from even pledging and going through Rush if they have to do that process alongside a male, whether or not that male gets into the sorority. That in and of itself is, I think, a barrier for some women and deeply unfair, but that's a whole nother issue.
Right. But even taking them at their word, they cannot, MPC cannot change Kappa's membership requirements.
Right. Right. I want to sort of end it by talking about another initiative that IW really cares about, and that is the Women's Bill of Rights and the importance of the definition of what a woman is. Tell us how all of this is sort of related to that, and why we wouldn't really be here if we had a legal definition for women that was codified throughout law.
Right. So there should be no need. In fact, you cannot have a requirement where basic terms have to be defined in order to have meaning, right? Like, it just doesn't make sense to function as a society. You can't function like that. However, there's been a movement to say that woman is not, you know, is not a common term. We no longer know what it means. And if that if that is taken to its logical extent, not only do you have sororities affected, but you have every single woman's space affected, from women's prisons, women's scholarships, obviously women's bathrooms and locker rooms, women's sex ed classes, anything that has to do with women is affected, unless, since now woman is no longer a common term, unless it's defined. So we believe that woman is a common term, that everybody knows what it means, like that there's no need for a definition. However, if you'd like us to say out loud what it means, we're not scared of that. We're happy to provide you with a definition. And that's what the Women's Bill of Rights is. It says, for purposes of state law, woman means an adult human female. It defines female. You want to go down second order, third order definition, we're happy to give you definitions for all of it. And so what that means is that there will be a democratic process, so that if you want to say no more women's prisons, I'd like for prisons to be women and individuals who identify as women, you can certainly do that. You just have to do it out loud. You cannot have some bureaucrat or some judge redefine woman. And so that is why it's important to have a Women's Bill of Rights, and for any legislator, usually Democrat legislator, who does not agree with the Women's Bill of Rights, that just means that they want to strip decisions from the people in the states and make undemocratic decisions at the judicial or bureaucratic level.
Well, May, you have made this so clear, and I really appreciate it. And we wish you all the best in this lawsuit. Tell us again when oral arguments are happening.
So it's Tuesday, May 14th. You can listen online. So on the IWLC website, we've got a link. You just click on the Westenbrook case, and there will be a link to listen. It will be at 9 a.m. Mountain Time, since we're in Denver. So that's 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and it should be fun.
I really do also encourage people to go to the Law Center. You have a great page dedicated to this case. You can read all of the briefs and sort of the history of the case, just really wonderfully presented on that website. So May, thanks again and best of luck.
Thanks, Julie.
And thank all of you for joining us for this special episode of the She Thinks podcast. Before you go, the Independent Women's Forum wants you to know that we rely on the generosity of supporters like you. An investment in IWF fuels our efforts to enhance freedom, opportunity, and the well-being of all Americans. Please consider making a small or large donation by visiting IWF.org/donate. That's IWF.org/donate. Lastly, if you've enjoyed this episode, be sure to leave us a rating or a review and share this episode with your friends so they know where to find more She Thinks. From all of us at IWF, thanks for watching.